This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
I was under the impression that most organizations would have a pre-field orientation for the adults as well as the children. And so I was a bit surprised as I've been attending workshops and seminars to learn that perhaps that's not true. So are there a lot of organizations that do not have PFO for their children?
I think probably there are more that don't than do. Yolanda, would you say that was true?
Possibly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I know what my own organization does, but I've only just in recent years begun to find out about other organizations. So
I think within our group that we had in the seminar, there were quite a lot. If zero was nothing and 10 was doing pre-field orientation intentionally for all children in all age groups, there was nobody that was up at 10. Most people would say they were between about 2 and 5 was the majority.
Yeah.
Beginning to do it, wanting some help and looking for ideas of how to do it better. So it tended to be a bit hit and miss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think organisations in recent years have been putting a lot more effort into training their personnel for heading overseas and working overseas, but not paying perhaps the attention needed to preparing the children for moving overseas. So there has been training taking place and pre-field orientation taking place, but more often than not for adults.
I know that both of you value very much the pre-field orientation for children. So let's just go ahead and ask the question, why do it? What are some of the reasons? What are the benefits?
Well, because they're going and they're valuable, and preparation doesn't mean everything's going to be smooth when you get there, but it can reduce the fear. It can help you to not make some embarrassing mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
It can help you know what your personal support is and how to access it, and just to expect that it is going to be a time when part of you perhaps feel excited, but there might also be sadness, because when you move to a new place, you're losing places that you know and leaving people that you love. So it's like going through a bereavement process.
Mm-hmm.
It does help to have begun to face some of that before you go.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you only need to hear it once. You probably need to hear the message repeated, but it's giving some coping skills, putting some tools in the toolkit, I suppose.
Yeah, I think I agree with what Janet is saying. I mean, for sure, fear, I think, is tied a lot to unknown and uncertainty. And so I think the better we can prepare people for what they may face ahead, the less likely they are to suffer from fear. Like Janet said, you know, there will be difficult times ahead and there'll be challenges, but if you can enable them to be able to cope. And I think if organisations want the parents and the adults to be doing well, then I think if their children are doing well, then that's going to help the parents as well overall in their work overseas.
Let me go ahead and throw out a counter argument, because I've heard parents say this: well, they're my children, and as long as they're with me, they know that everything's going to be fine. So how would you respond to someone who came at you with that kind of a statement?
I wouldn't contradict that, because I think the parents are a very valuable point of stability, a point of continuity, and helping the kids to know mum and dad will still be there, and we encourage families to maintain things that they normally do, so that in the midst of change, there are some regular routines. We perhaps particularly at the morning and the end of the day, still doing those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of it is a trust thing. I mean, yes, the parents can do a lot. They can we're not wanting to replace the parents, mm-hmm. but it's to supplement what the parents are doing. And perhaps if the caregivers, those who are running the PFO, have had experience or seen other children do, they know the kind of things that they may face.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a family going overseas for the first time, there's going to be a lot of new things.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. wanting to equip them with some things that other families have found.
Right.
Have helped.
Mm. Yes, and perhaps, you know, sometimes parents themselves may not be aware of the changes ahead. And some people do transition very well. And even if a family does transition well or tends to do well with those kinds of things, I still think there's a place for some form of pre-filled orientation. There are bits in it that perhaps you will find more useful than other bits.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you may not need some of that yourself or a child, but they may be able to help somebody else
mm-hmm.
who is struggling when they get overseas. And so I think there are bits of it that might apply to a child and other bits that they're not so bothered about. And that's why we try to provide kind of an all-round, cover all the different bases, all the different issues that we can think of that someone faces when they head overseas.
I was part of your seminar. I thought some of the activities looked like a lot of fun. So perhaps you could walk us through what a typical day might look like for the child going through PFO. What are some of the activities and what are the principles that you're trying to teach?
I think maybe what we'll describe is perhaps just a one day PFO, but perhaps later on I can describe a longer one. It actually begins before the day, when you communicate with the family, we would send them a letter to let them know who was running it, where it was, to build a bit of anticipation for them and their parents. And then we'd begin by just getting to know each other. If this was a group of children who'd never met before, perhaps heading to different corners of the earth, building relationship with us and with each other, and giving them some ideas of what's going to happen in the day. That would be how we would begin.
Obviously, with kids, there's always going to be a lot of fun involved. It's not all about talking and making them work and everything. They're not at school. So, you know, there'll be icebreaker games and everything. But I think the place where we like to begin is identity and who they are. And because we're all made differently, as we know, and yet each and every one of us is very special and very unique. And so we do concentrate on that. It's kind of where we begin the day as well, after we've gotten to know each other's names and learn how to say different names as well, which is important for children. We concentrate on who God has made them, how he has made them, and how very special and unique they are.
Mm.
So they can identify with where they are at in their whole family unit and how important they are as they head overseas.
And then I think after that we would move into thinking about the world,
mm-hmm.
different countries, letting them talk about where they've been before. And it was quite interesting, after our last PFO, we realised quite a lot of these children had actually been for a short visit
okay.
prior to where they were going for a longer period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So what a turnaround from, you know, even 5-10 years ago, whereas then they might have been going having only just heard the name of this place or perhaps seen a few pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them had been for a couple of weeks, so they had a bit of an idea. So it was looking at, what do you know already about this place? What memories have you got? What were your experiences then? And just talking about other countries and then beginning to give them chance to share within the group. Where's this particular group going? Where in the world? And this time we got them to write the name of their new country on a luggage label, and then we stuck them onto our giant plastic world map so they could see where each other was going.
Mm.
And then after that, we would have gone on to talking about cultural issues,
mm-hmm.
beginning to help them to realise things are going to be different and it's okay to be different
mm-hmm.
and to present that as in a positive way, mm-hmm. and there's the joy of finding out, and people will eat different foods, and maybe we will eat with different implements, mm-hmm. and that's okay. Encouraging them that in the difference, it will mean you'll have to try new things. Mm. And sometimes we feel a bit scared of trying new things. But wanting to foster that attitude of it's okay to have a go and it's also okay to make mistakes. But wanting them to really feel, I'm willing to have a go at this.
Yeah, we try and make it very hands-on as well, you know, by bringing in, Janet and I have both worked overseas ourselves, and so we've picked up little bits and pieces from our time overseas. And so to make it kind of practical and hands-on, you know, we have pictures or different items of clothing that we've worn when we've lived overseas and we've tried them on and let the kids try them on, show them how people may carry things on their head and mm-hmm. where they may carry the babies on their back. And so just try and prepare them for some of the differences they're going to see when they move, and food, culture, different ways of greeting, what's acceptable, what isn't, those kinds of things. And we talk, obviously, you know, a big part of going overseas are the goodbyes, which I don't know if you're going to get into that mm. a bit later or not. But even as you think about going overseas, what can you take and what can't you take? And so we encourage the children to think of some treasures, some things that are important to them. We even show them our own little treasure boxes. A little shell may not be important to one person, but it may be to another. And to encourage them to think through some of the things that matter to them, and that perhaps they can take in a little box and fit into a corner of a suitcase somewhere. But that just kind of provides a little bit of continuity for the child, a bit of security as well. Mm-hmm. A lot of this stuff that we do with the kids as well is, you know, in between the fun and the games, we kind of try and write some of these things down in papers that we've prepared for them that will go into a folder at the end of the day so mum and dad can see what the children have been doing mm-hmm. and the bits mm-hmm. they've not been able to fill in, mum and dad can help them finish it off at the end mm. of the day. So, you know, they can see what we've been up to.
I think what we're trying to foster is that we want them to be positive about going into this new culture as a learner. How are you going to learn how to do things? You know, every place when you go to a new school, you have to learn the way they do things here. So you can do that by watching other people, you can ask, and it's just on a bigger scale when you go into a new culture and, mm-hmm. and fostering that attitude of getting answers to my questions.
There's usually an activity that seems to be more fun for more kids than any other activity. Have you found such an activity in your pre-field orientation where the kids just seem to love it when they've done it?
Well,
we've done
different kids like different things, and it varies, I think, according to the age. Mm-hmm. We had 5 to 10 year olds in one group, six children between 5 to 10 from three families going to three different countries. So, but I think one of the real benefits is of meeting up with other children who are also going, and to know that they're not alone in all of this. I think they really enjoyed the today I'm feeling where they sat in a circle and somebody in the middle told a story and said, today I'm feeling all right. Everybody moves one chair to the right. And at lunchtime, I was still feeling all right. One chair to the right. And then later on, all the other kids were playing together and I felt left out. One to the left. And then you build on the story and then... But later, I really wasn't sure what I felt. I felt all mixed up. And the kids have to run around and try and grab a chair. But the point of that is to help them know that they will feel different things at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Part of them might feel happy, part of them might feel sad. And if you're not expecting that, then that can be very confusing. And they will have a mixture, multiple and conflicting emotions are normal in transition. Mm-hmm. So that little game is a way of helping them just begin to learn, you know, that they will feel more than one, Mm-hmm. And at times it will be confusing. So I think that in this last particular group, they really enjoyed that. Plus the Globetrotter game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the Globetrotter game that we've managed to find in a store back home. Just a big plastic mat with just, you know, the various continents on it. But it's nice because you can kind of stand on it with shoes and it's wiped clean. And
right.
It's good to kind of find different resources that can be used in different ways. We don't necessarily use it the way the game's intended, but we mm-hmm. can stick labels on it. And previous things I've done at PFOs, kids love to get into paint, don't they? And
right.
We've painted the bottom of their feet before and done footprints from the place where we are conducting the pre-field orientation and had them walk to whichever country it is they're going to move to. And that's just lovely to see a whole array of different colour footprints heading, you know, in different directions across the right. globe. It's very fun, very, well, I was going to say hands-on, but I suppose it's feet-on, really. You know, it's, the kids do tend to love that, but it's a messy job. And, you know, when whoever's running the PFO, it's a very servant place because you end up having to wash the children's feet and dry it. So there's another lesson there, I'm sure.
And it takes a long time to draw a giant world map on a piece of paper.
It does.
But it makes a memory
that
we are going around the world.
Yeah, all from one place and we're going different. Yeah, it is. And it's a visual because children are very hands-on, they're very practical and they're very visual. So anything mm-hmm. that can visually display what you're trying to convey to them, I think, helps them learn.
Mm. Have you heard back from children years after they went through your PFO? But what has been the response from parents and kids to what they learned at PFO?
Well, I think I can perhaps describe another setting in which I do PFO. This recent one has been a one-day event. In our organisation, we run a PFO that stretches for 3.5 weeks, and it runs parallel to the adult track. So the whole families are gathered together, actually in an Asian context, before they then go off to other Asian countries. And I know our parents there really appreciate the fact that it is not just babysitting for the kids, and the fact that there is an intentional program with age-appropriate activities just meant so much to them that their kids were being valued, mm-hmm. that time and personnel were being invested in this to equip them for this major move, because right. it is a big thing to move into another culture. And if that can be a positive experience with some good coping skills, I think we're about preventative care.
Mm.
Rather than, there will be crises and we will aim to support and give crisis management. But a lot of what you do is preventative care. So families perhaps don't always quite know what could have gone wrong if it hadn't been there.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thank you for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that would be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.